Well, good morning. Good to see you on this beautiful day, Easter Sunday. You know, every Sunday is a resurrection day to the believer because it reminds us what Jesus did and when he did it. So we're glad to see each one of you here today and trusting God for a good day together. And I was surprised this morning. I came in, I met one of my friends. I met about 20 years ago probably, Brother Jesse Rose right here. I led him to the Lord in a church down in Selma. And he's going off and going to college, got his degree. He's waiting on the Lord now to put him where he wants him. He's visiting with us today, him and his wife. It's good to see you, brother. It really is. Good to see all of you. Like, just good to see. You know, it really is. And we're trusting God for a good day today. It's going to be a very busy day. And I know the choir is all excited, all nervous, but they're ready. And we look forward to the cantatas at the 11 o'clock hour. And I was glad to help each one over here. They say there's two Sundays in the year that sets the record for the attendance in church. Can you tell me what one of them is? What's the other one? Mother's Day. Easter Sunday and Mother's Day is the highest attended Sundays all the year. And so we're expecting a good crowd today and glad to have you here on this Easter Sunday. We didn't come to celebrate the Easter Bunny. We didn't come to celebrate Easter egg hunt. We come to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Matthew 28. We're going to talk about the resurrection today, since it is that time of the year. We're glad to have you with us. You're visiting with us today. Glad to have you. Trusting God for a good service today. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for loving us. Thank you for this time you've given us to be in your house. Lord, on this special day, as we come together as believers to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Father, I pray today, Lord, as we read this account, may the Spirit of God give us some fresh and maybe refreshing thoughts and about what we have already know. But God, also give us some insight, dear God, also, that we might appreciate and love you more because of what you've done for us. So, Father, we commit now this few minutes we have together with you. And we trust you, dear God, may the Spirit of God lead and guide us in the thinking that we think, all that we say, all that we do. We want you to be honored and you to be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, you know the account in Matthew of the Gospels of what happened to Jesus. We know that the Sanhedrin delivered him to Pilate in chapter 27. We know also that Pilate talked to Jesus, and as he talked to Jesus, he found nothing wrong with him. And then Pilate presented Jesus before the crowd. There was two prisoners, Barabbas and Jesus, and he asked them which one did he want them to release. And of course, they voted to release Barabbas. And then Pilate said, what will we do to this man Jesus? And they yelled out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And so that's exactly what took place. Now, Jesus gave his life. He wasn't made, he wasn't wrestled to be put on the cross. The Bible tells us clearly that he laid down his life for us. He gave himself for us. And finally, we find that this will happen. They buried Jesus, and now we find over in Matthew chapter 27, first of all, I want us to read a few verses here, and then we'll get into chapter 28. I reminded myself, as I remind you, when they buried the Lord Jesus Christ, what took place? Notice in verse number 62, it says, now the next day, they buried him in Joseph's tomb. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, notice the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver, who's the deceiver? Jesus. The Pharisees and the chief priests, they come together and they say, we remember that that deceiver, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, he says, I will arise again. Now, if the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees remember the fact of what Jesus said about after 3 days, he's going to come forth, don't you think other people know that too? especially the disciples. And notice what happens. He says, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. In other words, seal it up, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Well, they're making accusations toward the Lord, isn't he? He was just a deceiver. He wasn't nothing to Jesus. He's not going to come forth from the grave. But I want to be sure. Seal up the seal. Put the stone in front of him. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now notice, Jesus has been crucified. He's been put in a tomb. They've sealed the tomb. Can you imagine the excitement in the air, but yet, on the other hand, some fear in the air too? They got 3 days to wait, right? They got 3 days, and they know something is going to happen. Either he's going to remain in that tomb, or he's going to come forth from that tomb. The chief priests and the Pharisees, they fear the fact that he's going to come forth. The disciples and the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are excited about the fact that they believe he's coming forth on that third day. Can you imagine trying to sleep at night? Can you imagine the excitement in your mind, in yourself, awaiting for that third day to be completed, to see what's going to take place? I believe this was the most exciting time that's ever been on the face of God's earth, as far as people's concerned, with anticipation of what's going to take place. What's going to take place after this third day? Jesus says, I'm going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And then I'm going to come forth from the grave. Here's an exciting time, folks. Exciting time. I'm sure there's been times in your life that maybe somebody has planned something for you, you planned something for yourself, go on vacation, whatever it is. And you're excited about what's going to take place on such and such a time, such and such a day. But now here, the Sadducees, the priests, and all this, they're in fear. Literally, they're in fear of what's going to take place on that third day. They're doing everything they can to prevent it from happening, folks. Everything they can. They seal the tomb. They set a watch. They're going to make sure his body's not stolen and he don't come out of that tomb. They're doing everything they can. Now we see what's happening here. As a new day is a dawning here in chapter number 28. Look what it says. We notice two things this morning very quickly because our time is short. We're going to notice, first of all, the angel of the Lord in verses 1 through 8. And then in verse number 9 and 10, we're going to see the appearing of the Lord. The angel of the Lord and the appearing, the angel of the Lord and the appearing of the Lord. Now notice in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. You know, the dawning of the day is the most peaceful, precious time of the day. When the sun is just beginning to up a little bit and just beginning to get light a little bit. There's no calmer time during the day. There's no more peaceful time during the day than the dawning of the day. Now, I realize some of us never see it. But it still happens, okay? It still happens, whether we see it or not. But we see here, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to be dawned towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Notice a change here, a change. I really don't believe, Brother Tower, I don't believe that Mary Magdalene or Mary, or probably none of the disciples, went to the tomb where Jesus was buried until after that third day. I really don't believe they did. I believe they had confidence. I believe they had faith that he was going to do what he said he was going to do on the third day. I believe they were trying to rest. They were trying to pray. And they were just getting all anticipation of what's going to take place on that third day, after that third day. But now here's a change. A change is taking place. A light is breaking through, folks. It's the dawning of a new day. And we find that Mary Magdalene and Mary went to the sepulcher. We notice here something took place in verse number 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. He often questioned, if Mary Magdalene and Mary had never gotten up and went towards that tomb, I wonder what had happened. Well, the angel came down anyway? It's a good thought, isn't it? It's a good thought. But we see here, they did go towards that sepulcher, and we find here the ground shook. The ground shook violently, as the Bible says. Like a great earthquake. And notice, the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. We see here, the stone was rolled back. The ground was conquered. God rolled that stone all back by that angel. It was conquered. We also see, not only was it conquered, but it was also confounded. The guard was confounded because the angel set upon that stone where now the grave is open. It's not closed, it's open now. Now, let me say this to you. You know this. But the angel of the Lord didn't come down to roll that stone back so Jesus could come out. I believe Jesus was already out. But he came down and rolled that stone back so people, when Mary Magdalene and them came, they could see he was gone. He's not in there. His grave clothes were laying neatly. He just got out of his grave clothes and came forth and walked out. It's exactly what he did. We see here the change took place. Now notice the challenge. Notice the challenge here in verse 5 and 6. Well, let's go to verse 3. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. That's the angel. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. When they saw the angel of God, they literally fell out as dead men because they were so afraid of what's taking place here. You know, when we have earthquakes like over in Japan and other parts of the world, they're happening everywhere. It puts fear in the mind of people when earthquakes come because we have no control. God's in control. And God was in control of this right here. But notice verse number 5. I want you to notice here the challenge. When the angel, what the angel shared with the women. Mary Magdalene and Mary is there now. Okay, notice what the angel was sharing. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, what? Fear not ye. Don't be afraid. Now, they said, the angel said that to still their fear, to calm them down. Mary, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. The angel tried to give them God's peace, assure them of God's peace. God's in control. God has done what's happened, okay? And you be assured that it is of God. Not only did they steal their fears, but also, look at the last part of the verse number 5. For I know that ye seek who? Jesus. I know why you come. You come to seek Jesus. Not only did the angel share with the woman to steal their fears, but also to stir their faith. He knew they came to find Jesus. They came to see Jesus. They came to see him. Notice which was crucified. Now notice what the angel showed the women. Look what the angel showed the women in verse number 6. First of all, he is not here. The angel assured Mary Magdalene and Mary that Jesus was no longer in that tomb. He is not here. But notice what else he said to them. The proof. He is risen. For he is risen. As he said. He's not here. He's risen as he said. Now notice he said. Also. Notice he says. Come. See the place where the Lord lay. Come on in if you want to and see where he was. But he's not here. He's risen, like he said. He's not here. And notice in verse number 7. He says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. I have told you. So we see, what do we see here? The charge. Go quickly. Listen, you came. You've seen the tomb is empty. You see, Jesus is not here. Now I want you to go and tell. I want you to go and tell. I want you to go and tell. And go quickly, the Bible says. And tell who? Tell the disciples. Tell the disciples. He's not here. You know, it's just like getting saved. When you get saved, if you ever lead somebody to Christ, you need to tell them. You go tell somebody what happened to you. That makes it exciting, you know? When they saw that Jesus was not in that tomb, boy, don't you think they were excited? I bet they couldn't wait to find a disciple and tell them, hey, he's not there. He's gone. He's risen. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Now, let's notice quickly the appearing of the Lord in verse 9 and 10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Now, that word all hail simply means peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Peace, he said to the disciples. Peace, he said to them. When he met the women, that's what he said. Now, why he met the woman? Why did he meet the women? Why did Jesus meet these women? Number one, he met them, I think, to banish all doubt. All doubt. Look at verse number 9 again. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. They wanted to be sure it was Jesus. And he banished all their doubt. That's why he met them. He didn't want them to doubt or to wonder if it was Jesus or not. Come. They came down and sat at his feet and worshipped him. Literally worshipped him. To get rid of all the doubt that might be in their mind as to his resurrection from the dead, and also to the fact that he was God in the flesh. He was deity. His deity here. We also see he met the women to banish all dread. Look at verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, he says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Go tell thy brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. In other words, you go tell your brethren, they can see me also in Galilee. You can see me in Galilee. So what are we saying today here? What is the true Easter message today as we come together to celebrate through the Word of God and through song, the Easter story? What is the true meaning? What is the true message of Easter? I believe we can find it in verse 6 and 7. Let's read it again. Verse 6 and 7, the true meaning, the true Easter message, if you please. When the angel said, he's not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. I believe the Easter message today for you and I is to come and see and go and tell. Come and see and go and tell. Folks, we have a wonderful story to tell. We have a wonderful message to proclaim. Our Savior, our God, is alive. He came, he lived here on this earth for 33 years. He ministered to mankind. He tried to help people to see their need to be saved. He gave them the opportunity to be saved. After that, he was crucified. He died. He was buried. He rose the third day. And today, of course, we know where he is. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. We have a wonderful message. The world today needs to hear that message. And may God help us to tell this wonderful story over and over again. This is a story, folks. Listen, it never gets old. The more you tell it, the sweeter it gets to you. Because you know it, you can identify with it. Because it happened to you. It happened to me. The greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior. Nothing can surpass, nothing can compare, folks, to the fact that God would save a wretched sinner like me. I'm so thankful today for this Easter story. I'm glad today for this account that we have in the Word of God that we can share. That we can share it with people. The angel of the Lord, the appearing of the Lord. What a wonderful story, folks. And I trust this Easter as we celebrate Easter with our family or wherever we go, may it be our desire to tell them to come and see. And go and tell. Come and see. Come and see. And go and tell. The grave is empty. And the message is wonderful. The message is wonderful that we have to share the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to pray. Our time is a little bit short this morning. But I trust, again, today, that we will be reminded every Sunday, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday. This is the day the Lord rose from the grave. Mary Magdalene and Mary went to the tomb to see him. He wasn't there. And the angel appeared to them, and then the Lord appeared unto them to assure them that he was alive and well. Father, we thank you for the account in the Word of God. Lord, we know and we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. This is not just a story. This is an actual event that took place nearly over 2,000 years ago now. And Father, we're grateful for what you've done for us and sending your Son to come and die for us that we could have eternal life. Oh, what manner of love you have bestowed upon us that we could be called the children of God. Thank you for that, dear God. Thank you for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come and give his life, shed his blood on Calvary for mankind that we might have eternal life and spend eternity with our Savior one day. Thank you for what a wonderful message. Lord, I pray, God, as we go forth this day, God, that you would help us, Lord, to tell the message. Tell the message to people that we come in contact with, Lord. This is reality to us. This is not just something that we read about. But Lord, because you live in our heart, Lord, it's reality to us. And God, remind us every day of it. Father, we commit now the service that we're about to go into, the cantata, into your hands. Lord, I pray you bless Brother Kim as he leads the choir, as they participate, whatever is done today. I pray you will be honored. I pray you be glorified. God, speak to our hearts. God, if there's one here today that has never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray today the Spirit of God would deal with that heart, Lord, and draw them to you before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.